closer to home from Clanton and going to Auburn.
And again, this is also excellent timing for Auburn with Big Cat coming up Saturday. DeMarcus will be at Big Cat along with many, many other star prospects. And this absolutely can do nothing but help Auburn's recruitment of other top prospects.
There were reports he was going to go to Big Cat weekend back when he was a Georgia commitment before he made this announcement. Some folks, and that was when I started to think Auburn had a real shot of flipping him. When you're proposing that this young man could make an announcement and then a couple of days later, Big Cat weekend is happening. He was telling folks that's where he was going. Now it sounds like that's going to happen. DeMarcus Riddick flips to Auburn. He'll be in Auburn this weekend at Big Cat.
Yeah, now, again, the thing to keep in mind and remember this, Alabama and Georgia aren't going to concede DeMarcus Riddick, especially, I would say, Alabama. Well,
and Auburn hasn't conceded anyone who's committed somewhere else.
No, that's exactly right.
That's part of it. The deal's not done till ink is on paper.
In December.
And even then, players have the option of movement, but it's a really big pickup out of high school, seemingly, for Hugh Freeze. A big commitment to land at this stage of the game.
No question about it. 3-3, and let's we'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on the big news for Auburn today as we're just getting underway with hour number one of the drive, which is brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And we'd love for you to join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. And that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Again, thanks to Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Mark gets us started this afternoon. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. War Eagle.
That's a big, big pickup for Hugh Freeze and for Auburn. I mean, has Hugh Freeze done anything that would get any Auburn folks thinking, well, I'm not so sure about this? I mean, thus far, every move Hugh Freeze has made has been just what Auburn fans could hope, and sometimes more than what they might have been expecting.
Well, I Yahtzee, and I think it's just hopefully this is the beginning of just the start, because the old part up in Tuscaloosa is, we can start saying he's getting on up there, and it's starting to. I think it's going to be a slow slide down for them, but I think their time is done. Their time is done. It won't be long. It's going to be done. I mean, he's getting older. He's got to have more talent to win, and that's just the way it was. And
I'm not as ready as you are to say it's over. Here's what I'll say, Mark.
Way more talent than anybody else to win.
That's true.
If Auburn starts recruiting at a higher level, it becomes more difficult for Nick Saban to have the success he's had over
even
the last.
Even without it, we've been very competitive. And I think, and I will always say this: yeah, he's got to have overwhelming talent to win. And he just bullies people. And when he can't bully people, he's an overrated coach. The NFL showed that when he first got to Alabama, and when he was at LSU, some years when talent was equal, he was mediocre. I mean, he was just like everybody else. So
he won a national championship there.
Well, I know he did. Gene isn't a national championship.
Yeah, but I mean, I think talent acquisition is a huge part of
it. It is. No question about it.
A huge part of being a college football coach, though. I mean,
everybody else can acquire talent the way that he used to be able to do it just by himself, and having somebody in the NCAA that's the enforcement person, and his good buddy was president at the NCAA when he was first at Alabama, so of course they weren't going to do anything. So that's the fact. So anyway, I think I always think, yeah, he's a great coach, but there is a big part of it that he is. You can argue that a lot of it is overrated. So, anyway, great day, Yahtzee. Talk to y'all later.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Now, yeah, I mean, there are quite a few folks, and I won't disagree with. I don't know that Nick Saban is the greatest game day coach that there is, but as far as talent acquisition, preparation, his teams. I mean, he's done it better than anybody ever has done it.
Yeah, I just think you're you're grasping at straws as a criticism of Nick Saban. Like, well, if he didn't have such an overwhelming talent advantage, he wouldn't be as good. He's a big reason why.
That's right. And Alabama right now is still in the top five nationally in everybody's recruiting rankings for this upcoming year. They're going to continue to recruit extremely well. What Auburn has to do, and Hugh Freeze has said this, is close that gap. And this is a big step in that direction. And Auburn, I think, has the possibility, and it's not a long shot, of closing it even more, picking up more top-notch talent than they've been able to do in years.
Don't minimize the importance of the move today. I mean,
not at all.
This is Auburn landing a guy that Alabama and Georgia really wanted. The last decade haven't been too many situations.
No, I would say, you know, you go back to T.D. Moultrie, Derrick Brown, Marlon Davidson. There have been a few.
I mean, Georgia probably won a tank. I mean, there's
Georgia wanted Tank. I don't know that Alabama was involved. Not that they didn't want him, but I mean,
there's been a couple, but I mean,
there have been maybe one or two. And you go back to Owen Papo and sort of before then, there'd be one, maybe two sometimes a year.
You're naming four or five players in 10 recruiting classes. So, I mean, that's a significant move by Auburn.
I don't know about 10. I'd say over the last six or seven, there have only been four or five. In 13 and 14, Auburn got some players.
That's true. Yeah, 14. No, you're right. You go back to Okay, so more recently than 10.
But it's barely been one a year. Maybe. I mean, I don't know that you'd average one a year.
And so for Hugh Freeze to pull off, you know, a player like this, it's a nice pickup. I worry that using it to signal the end of an era might be blowing it out of proportion a little bit.
Hopefully it's the end of middling days for Auburn. That's what's more important.
It could be a you know, part of a big new day for Auburn. You're absolutely right.
334-321-1390. We're just underway. Love for you to join in here on this Wednesday edition of The Drive.
Senior golfer or pro athlete.
7502 or email The Drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Jason Caldwell in the building. He will be joining us here momentarily on a day where Auburn picking up a big, big commitment, getting the flip of DeMarcus Riddick. Who I really don't think anybody had been expecting him to say Georgia after he had said he was going to make a final announcement on his mom's birthday. But with that, let's welcome Jason Caldwell in from Auburn Undercover and the 247 Network. JC, how you doing, man? Yeah. You a little tired?
Yeah, it's been a long day, but a good day. Obviously, it's not finished, but to have that news. Something we expected the last couple of days, but you never really know until you get to the
absolutely.
You get here, and the thing about DeMarcus is, I think it was June, probably second week of June, he came for a Team 707 camp at Auburn, and I spoke to him then. I think that's probably the last time he's done an interview. I believe I don't know if anybody else has talked to him publicly since then. And he talked about Auburn, how much he felt at home. They're seriously in it, and I think then. I was like, okay, I think he's coming to Auburn. Could he do it and say, hey, I don't care what people tell me I need to do. I want to go where I want to go. Could he make that decision? He did. Because I think he's wanted to go to Auburn for quite a while now. Was not going to happen until this new staff came on board.
You're right about that.
Absolutely changed since then. He was offered under the old staff, but never visited until these guys came. They made a huge impact. They made him a priority from day one. And, you know, I think it was January. Me and Christian went and watched him play basketball in Benjamin Russell in Alexander City. And at that time, he's like, you know, learning more about Auburn. But, I like they're showing me interest. And Auburn just constantly showed love and were there at every turn. And that's what you have to do in recruiting. And so, I talked about it, and I wrote a commitment analysis, and this is one of those that Auburn hasn't had in a long time. And this is one of the ones that you have to have if you want to compete with Alabama, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You win these battles. Joseph Phillips was one of those guys. Georgia absolutely wanted Joseph Phillips and fought to the bitter end on that commitment for Auburn from Tuskegee. This is one that Georgia didn't say, hey, we don't want him anymore. He said, hey, I'm pretty much Auburn, Alabama.
Well, these are guys that you have to get because they're in state. I mean, yeah. You know, it really hurts when they leave the state and it's somebody you really, really have wanted and you feel like, well, we should have had a shot at this guy.
Yeah.
Or should have been able to.
Yeah, so. No. This makes it doubly important, mm-hmm. of where he's located. Again, you have to win your share of battles in the state of Alabama and get your share of guys in Georgia and Florida. More Georgia than Florida, in my opinion. But to compete with those schools, you have to get guys that they want. That's it. That's the thing. Y'all mentioned talent acquisition. You mentioned earlier, and I heard the caller. I'm agreeing with him a little bit. There's no question.
It's going to be tougher and tougher for Nick Saban and Alabama, correct. To acquire the talent if Auburn is really
the more
putting
you take
up
the more you take
fight.
Away from those schools, then the closer you are to being right there with them. Now it's still a long process. It's still a long way off.
It's easier to catch up if you're keeping them from getting
correct.
Something while you're getting
that's
something.
That's it. And so you start and the other part of that is talent is the thing. Hey, it is part of coaching. There's no question about it. But if talent wasn't that important, if because you look at it and go, oh, the greatest coach of all time. We don't know who the greatest coach of all time is because it's not equal. If you're the greatest coach of all time and you have the better players, then you don't lose. He's lost. If you're the greatest coach of all time, you don't have a losing season, lose to Louisiana Monroe in the first year at Alabama. Talent is the biggest thing.
Well, there's no such thing as the greatest coach of all time.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
saying.
Well, what I'm saying is, but I mean, losing season, you know, that's a huge deal. That's a big deal. Talent is the most important thing. Be all end all. You can coach. You can be the greatest coach of all time. If you don't have really good players, you're not going to win. That 2007.
Yeah, you may win occasionally because you outcoached somebody.
2007 showed that. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
2007 showed that. I mean, you look at no matter what, guys. If you just can't snap your fingers and go, we're just going. Hey, we just saw it for 2 years. You're going to outcoach everybody. Going to outwork everybody. Okay, good luck. Not happening. You better go get better players than everybody else. This is one of those. This is one of those moves. Joseph Phillips, Walker White. Some of this class already. I think they're going to add more to it. This is a class that can start to bridge the gap a little bit for Auburn, and it's been a gulf for the last few years.
Yeah, Kirby's sort of been all shucks about how, I mean, he doesn't, you know, he'll be the first to tell you, he doesn't have an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator that provides, was it Charlie Weiss said when he got the Notre Dame, what, the decisive schematic advantage, right? Like, he doesn't have someone doing that. He's got better players. Like, I mean, when they asked him after the Oregon game, like, how did this happen? And he said, because my team has better players.
I mean, that's. I mean, there's nothing else. Now you can once you get to that point, yes, you can help your team, and coaching is valuable. But if you don't have the guys, it doesn't matter how much you do. You might
TCU,
win. You're right. You might win a one or two.
TCU right. was extremely well coached last year, right? I mean, they looked great. Had that championship
well, here's
game.
Thing, they got out. They got to that point, being very fortunate. Had a couple of plays. Didn't even win their own conference, by the way. You know, they got there by not winning the conference, had a couple of late second field goals. They got to that point. But then when they met a decided difference in talent,
mm-hmm.
it showed up.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, you talked about the commitment analysis. Talk a little bit about what Auburn's getting in DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, the first thing is he's one of those guys that walks on the field and he knows that he's the guy out there. But he doesn't act like it. You can see it in body language. You can see it in the way he does things. But he's not one of those guys that's walking around with his chest puffed out. He just goes to work. And that's what I really like about him. And I struggled. I really did. I struggled to make a comparison because he's not the long, athletic Carlos Dansby type. Now, he's really athletic. He's a really good basketball player, too. because of the position, I had to go back to Taquillo. I had to go back to a guy like that because of the impact of a guy that I think can come in and start as a freshman. I think he's that good. And that doesn't happen often at linebacker. I think DeMarcus Riddick is that kind of guy that could come in and have that kind of impact like Taquillo did in 1995.
Is he going to be an early enrollee?
Yeah, he'll be. I haven't talked to him yet. I'm certain he will be now these days.
That helps an awful lot. It's tough not to be.
It would be tough. But he's extremely athletic, competitor. I think a guy that probably, quite honestly, he probably reminds me a little bit more of Georgia linebacker from a couple of years ago that Auburn recruited from Mississippi that when they won the first national championship, and my name just drew a blank, but one that kind of the leader of that group.
Yeah,
Josh Bynes?
No, at Georgia two years ago.
Oh, Georgia, okay. I was going to say, they're talking about Auburn.
God, it was all over the field,
yeah. But line guys up and would get them in the right position, and I just went blank. But anyway, from Mississippi. But that kind of reminds me of him, a guy that's going to be 6'2", 235, can run, can play sideline to sideline, can play between the tackles, can do all those things. And so, again, it's from everything, a perception standpoint, talent standpoint, the importance of being a legitimate option in your own state. This could be a door opener. This is one of those that the other guys go, wanting to do that, but I had – okay, that shows me somebody else is seeing what I see.
And N'Kobe Dean.
Yes, yes. And so that to me could be a door opener. When you think about a guy like Perry Thompson, Ryan Williams in 2025, I mean, there's others that you go, okay, all right, now I got somebody that goes along with my vision of seeing what I see. And Walker White's been there for a while, but a guy from Arkansas, it's a little bit different when you see a guy that's this close that goes, okay, that's I see that. I want to be a part of that. We'll see if it has a Pied Piper impact. I think it could somewhat.
I said it sure doesn't hurt that Big Cat's in a couple of days now.
No, and obviously, we talked to, DeMarcus, like I said, last month, and him saying that he planned to be back at Big Cat weekend. When you're announcing 3 days before that, that's a pretty good sign.
Right.
And then it wound up being the biggest sign we could have because that was the case, plans to be back this weekend. And I would think that's going to be a pretty popular guy when he steps back on campus.
Jason Caldwell with us here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn Hotline. Come on in.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, Drew at the controls. In case you're just, of course, if you're a normal listener to this show and you don't know by now, I can't imagine that. But if you've been in a meeting or something, Auburn picking up the final decision from DeMarcus Riddick. Now, again, Jason, I said this, I don't expect him to change his mind, but I also don't expect Alabama and Georgia to just punt and say, oh, okay, that's it.
No.
I mean, they'll recruit other players, but they will. I don't think they'll just quit.
No. He's one of those guys that, hey, if he came back around and said, hey, we want to. No matter how many commitments you had, you'd still take a DeMarcus Riddick, and so they won't stop. But this is a guy that I think bought into a true vision instead of just watch. He's like, I bought it. He bought into a true vision of what he thinks this program can be, and Hugh Freeze has shown that in the past. And hasn't had that opportunity at a place like Auburn. That's the difference. People are like, what did he do in other games? Yeah, look, what else has anybody ever done at Ole Miss? Who's the only school in this division to never
never play in the title game?
Yeah, that's it. So I mean, I guess A&M hasn't.
A&M hasn't, but the ones that have been in it,
correct?
Since
Ole Miss has been here
since we were divisions.
Yeah, and hasn't made it to Atlanta. They've had some good teams, but that's a difficult place to make that big of a jump. Auburn has done it time and time again, and now he's going to have that opportunity here.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And Cameron is up next. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing fine.
Doing all right, Cameron. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, while I was waiting to come on, Bill actually answered the question that I was going to ask. Well, now that DeMarcus Riddick has announced he's slipping to Auburn, do we expect him to kind of like close off his recruitment anytime soon? And also he's a part of the 2024 class, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He has said this is final decision. He has said and labeled this as final decision day on his mom's birthday. So, I mean, like I said, you never say never. But he's a guy that I feel like has bought into what this staff, the vision they have, and I think had it been done 2 weeks when they were in and it was really quick and Auburn had. This one is different because he has basically all he's known about Auburn is now is this staff, and so I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And so since Walker White is kind of the quote unquote crown jewel of the 24 class, do y'all think now Auburn's going to start to kind of like building around Riddick? Because I mean, I would assume from the tape that I've watched of him and from what I've heard other people say, he's a potential day one starter. So do y'all see him as the like linchpin of the of what the 2024 defensive class can be? And I'll just thank you. Listen, thanks guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a few of them, but yeah, I mean, you look at, I mean, Joseph Phillips is a guy that I think will continue to rise up the rankings. He's only played 1 year of football. You know, Booker T. Washington right here in Tuskegee, he is a physical freak. But you look at Riddick, look at Jalen Crawford.
Look at the defense thus far, and they'd sure, I mean, there are quite a few more guys they'd like to add.
Absolutely, and, you know, when you start thinking about, you think about kind of the potential guys defensively for this group and think about, you know, other guys that you could add, there's a guy on campus right now that could be right there in that mix as well is Kamarion Franklin, Cam Franklin from Lank Cormorant in Mississippi.
Is he the top player in Mississippi?
He is the number 30 player nationally on 247. He's a 98 ranking in terms of defensive linemen, 6'5", 265. He's a guy that's on campus for a couple of days visiting prior to Big Cat weekend. That's another – I mean, they have an opportunity – when you start thinking about a Perry Thompson, you know, five-star wide receivers committed to Alabama, this could be a class with as many headliners in it. Hey, DeAndre Carter, big offensive lineman from California, is visiting this weekend, and a guy that I think Auburn has a legit shot with. All of a sudden, you start looking and going, you could have seven or eight commitments here before football season that are four and five-star guys. You do that, and then all of a sudden, again, it starts opening the door a little bit for other guys.
It's funny. I mean, we were talking – Cameron, I appreciate the call, Cameron. See, he's gone. You know, when we were talking a month or so ago, it was like, well, you know, maybe Auburn could be somewhere in the 12 to 16 range or something like that by the time the season starts. Now, it appears that may be a little low.
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on – again, when you look at it too, and a lot of it depends on how a site ranks players,
right?
On how many they use, how many guys it takes.
Is it on the total number? Is it on the
If you start looking at it, Auburn right now has moved up to I think it's 27, somewhere around in there now with DeMarcus Riddick. But you start going. Average
got to be top 10.
Yes,
now.
And Auburn's average star ranking is up really high. And so you start thinking about where they are. I think you're up to 27 in the team rankings. Let's see. Sixth in overall player ranking with only 12 commitments.
Wow.
So you're sixth in average rating per player, which is phenomenal. And again, the ability to add, I mean, heck, they have the ability to add a couple more five-star guys. And then you think, how many do you take? How many spots do you save for transfers? You know, it may be a little bit smaller class, but this is a class now.
If you can get you know, outstanding high schoolers, you take as many of them as you can.
Absolutely, and save a. And that's the ideal. The ideal scenario is to get as many really good high school players as you can get, and pick and choose a couple of transfer guys where you need help immediately. That's ideal spot.
Yeah, Auburn's going to need a few more, like you said, because they've got 24, 25 seniors on the roster,
and they're going to need some of those guys. It's just the way it is. They're going to need some of those guys on the offensive line. They're going to have mm-hmm. older guys to come in and play again, potential transfers. But you got to start building through the high school ranks. You do that with these guys right here, and that's how you avoid having a 20-person transfer
class.
So
they got rid of the 25-man limit. Can you sign more than 25 high schoolers
yes.
now?
If you can sign whatever gets you under 85. As long as you don't go over 85.
So where do you think – where do you think Auburn – like, what do you think the number is as far as total high schoolers they're going to take in this class?
Yeah, I think it'll end up being 23 to 25, okay. something like that. Because, like Bill said, here's the thing. You know you're going to lose some players. You're going to lose some other guys mm-hmm. potentially. And so you're going to have room with more than 25 probably because of the numbers you have. You're going to have some guys.
You got seniors, you got guys going pro, and you got guys portaling out.
Correct. Yeah, right. Correct. So you're going to have room. So you're going to have room to sign a big high school class and still bring in some transfer guys potentially. So, it could. This is the class that I've said all along I thought could be 15-ish. You get a DeMarcus Riddick, and you add a couple more of these guys, and all of a sudden you start talking about 8 to 10. And if you get 8 to 10 right somewhere around in there, then you've put yourself in position to immediately jumpstart a program from the high school ranks like you did from the portal this year.
You think anybody could make an announcement at Big Cat Weekend?
Yeah, I think it's a very strong possibility now. Again, I mentioned, a guy like Perry Thompson. He's committed to Alabama for a while. A guy like that, if he indeed makes it back this weekend.
Yeah, Alabama's definitely trying to get him to come to their barbecue instead of coming here.
That'd be a huge thing.
If we're talking about a Perry Thompson flip or the possibility of it on Monday's show, that's enormous. That's one of the biggest receivers Auburn would have gotten landed in
correct.
A long time.
You have Malcolm Simmons from Benjamin Russell, a guy that's coming in this weekend. Things go well, I could see that happening maybe. But I mentioned, a guy like DeAndre Carter, offensive lineman from California, potentially. I mean, I don't know that it would happen this early, but I mean, you never know once you start to get the feel.
Right.
And again, we don't know now what kind of impact a DeMarcus Riddick decision has on some of the other guys when they start thinking about Auburn.
334-321-1390. Jason, how long are you with us?
I got another segment.
Good. I want to get we'll get to break. Want to talk about a couple of proposed bills in Congress. And interesting, I mean, one, Tommy Tuberville, part of one of them. There are some similarities, but they're quite wide-ranging, and they deal with not just NIL, but the transfer portal as well. We'll talk about that and more. Again, we'd love to hear from you, though. Anything on your mind? Jason with us one more segment here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive.
This is Dan Peck from ESPN 106.7. Auburn's
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in, final segment of hour number one of the drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, and we'll get to Daniel here momentarily, but, over the last 24 hours, word has come out about a proposed bill. There's no question Tommy Tuberville, Joe Manchin have been working, trying to come up with a bill to put some parameters on NIL, and they have a proposed bill that there's no doubt the NCAA, and I would think most coaches, would be very much in favor of. A couple of the things in here, it wants to put limits basically on NIL, make it there be standard NIL policies across the across the landscape of all colleges, but it also includes some proposals for the transfer portal that players would not be able to transfer for 3 years after they sign a grant and aid, with the exception of if their head coach or position coach leaves, then they could enter the transfer portal. What I'll be very interested to see how much, with everything that Congress has going, how much this gains, if it gains any traction at
all. Yeah, it sounds good, but it's not a whole lot different from what we have anyway. The transfer part of that, I mean, you can leave now when coaches leave anyway. Now, that would open up a second one, I'm guessing, the second window to transfer.
Well, it'd be a sort of any time.
If you had already transferred once, you get to transfer again. My guess is right now, if somebody pushed it, they wouldn't. I don't see how they would tell them you can't transfer.
I don't know how that would stand up in court.
Correct. You think? I mean, I believe the stance of the Manchin Tuberville group here would be that the transfer portal is. I mean, it's part of the problem in NIL because you have inducements and players can leave after every year.
No question about that.
And so. Is that a realistic way to try to cut down on the possibility of tampering? Is to take away the immediate eligibility transfer?
Here's the problem, because they opened up the window of, well, hey, name, image, and likeness. Hey, whatever that player's value is, they should be allowed to go and seek that. Well, okay, if a guy goes to Murray State and averages 38 points a game, and Murray State says, look, we can give you $5,000. And somebody else says, we can give you $500,000. I don't know how they're going to justify going, oh, no, can't do that, because they've already opened this door. Well, they allowed the door to be open.
Yeah, what the Tuberville Manchin proposal, it's called PASS, Protecting Athletes, Schools, and Sports. It would create a uniform NIL contract for athletes, and they would create a regulator that would and have a public website that would publish NIL data. It says without revealing names, but require contracts to be disclosed within 30 days.
Yeah, well, that's the thing right now that I just don't understand. There are places where you can go and see a player's value. Who sets the market value?
The regulator.
That's just like one website's opinion.
Correct.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's true.
That's it. But then people believe that.
Who would do this in here in this
it's like
proposal?
It's like when you type in a celebrity's net worth. Right.
Correct.
It's like,
right.
You're getting the guy's guess.
But here's my problem with it, is because when a player's parent and a player sees that, then they're going, hey, they say my value is $1.2 million. Well, is anybody paying you that? No, well, somebody might. Well, that's who I'm going to. It's not based in reality. Reality is, hey, you might be worth that down the line if you do these things, but you're not now. But, oh, no, I want it right now. To me, we've had it for years where people have said, oh, the star rating system is the worst thing to ever happen for kids because it their mind's out of proportion. It ain't anything like telling somebody that they're worth $1 million.
No, you're not kidding.
NIL value approximations.
Correct.
And stuff
yes.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get?
Yeah. Let's get to Daniel before we run out of time here. Hey, Daniel, thanks for hanging on.
Hey guys, I'm loving the conversation, and I don't really mean to turn the tables or turn the topic, but just wanted to talk about the new commit, how exciting that was. What some more casual football fans don't really understand is some of the best recruiters are the commitments themselves. And so I think this will be only a launching pad really for this upcoming class. I don't know if they're really considering Auburn as a premier program, and this would really open their eyes. Hey, come with me this weekend. I'm coming to Auburn. You should come with me. And so I think it'll be a launching pad. I did want to ask what you guys thought expectations for this coming year are as far as ranking-wise. Like, where
recruiting
do you think we
ranking?
Could end up? Yes, in recruiting rankings.
Yeah, we just mentioned a little bit. I think with this type of addition and the chance to get a couple more, I could see them being – right around top 10, maybe a little higher.
I'd be a little surprised almost if they're not with the way things are going.
I'd say maybe a little higher depending on if you get a couple of guys. It take normally to get inside that group, it's going to take another five-star type
yep.
guy.
Yep.
And they've got a shot at that guy. Normally it takes a couple of five-star type players to get into that group. But, again, Joseph Phillips could wind up bumping into that group before it's over with. I think there's a chance of that. Mentioned Perry Thompson, mentioned Cam Franklin. There's other guys out there that you have a chance to do that to. I could see this. I mentioned 8 to 10. I could see it being an 8 to 10 type class, and heck, it might get a little higher.
Any assistant coaches that get a shout out for the Riddick?
Josh Aldridge has done a great job, the Auburn linebacker coach, and coming in and kind of doing those things. Obviously, this is a group effort. They do it. They always do that. You know, Zach Etheridge has been in there crying, but I mean, like everybody you look at. But hey, in the end, and we talked about it the last 2 years, and it deserves talking about it now. Hugh Freeze runs point on a lot of these guys, and to have your head coach being involved and making phone calls and talking to guys consistently is the most important thing you can have. So the staff has done a great job of getting the guys and building relationships through those things. But without the head coach, it doesn't happen.
Who are the top two schools over the last decade in the SEC in recruiting?
That's it. It's Alabama
and
Georgia.
Who are the two head coaches that are known more for their ability to recruit?
Well, and that's the thing about it. Those two guys, they go out, they beat the bushes, they fly on helicopters, they go see a bunch of the schools, they build relationships, they do that. That's what it takes. Hugh Freeze does those things. And I think as they continue to get more ingrained in Auburn, Joseph Phillips and now DeMarcus Riddick are two wins in the recruiting game.
That come from behind wins.
Well, I'm not sure they thought in December that they'd be able to get to this point.
Yeah.
And they have, which shows you the potential at Auburn. I think this is one of those that they start going, hey, we'll go anywhere against anybody, and you got a chance at Auburn. It's been a long time since that was the attitude in recruiting at Auburn. And hey, we mentioned Big Cat coming up this weekend. It's been since those first guys.
That's what I was thinking. This is probably as excited about Big Cat as I can remember folks being since the first one.
And this is the first time that you've had, a staff since that first group that says, I don't care where that guy's
from. We're going to get
him. We're going to go get those guys. It's been a more concerted effort to kind of, we're going to go get the guys we think we can get. Hey, these guys aren't going. They're going to go after anybody they think that helps Auburn win.
Jason, we're really glad you were able to come in, spend some time with us, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you and the guys got.
Yeah, AuburnUndercover.com. Got tons of stuff already. Christian's still there. We're going to get some stuff from DeMarcus Riddick and some more things heading into Big Cat Weekend as well. So check us out there. Follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Back with hour number two. Stick with us.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls, the regular crew, but Jason Caldwell came in, and great to have him with us always, but even better to have him with us when Auburn picks up a big, big commitment today. DeMarcus Riddick, five-star linebacker out of Chilton County High School in Clanton, announcing today that he is going to sign with the Auburn Tigers.
And we could have some pretty big conference alignment news.
Wow, who would think? I mean, this practice is about to get started.
Surprise.
Across the country, and the Big 12. They've been adding a lot of teams, haven't they?
Sounds like there's going to be another emergency
meeting. I thought
they're
at 16 now.
Another emergency meeting today, and it sounds like within the next, by the end of the week, we could have concrete news, really by the end of the day.
Colorado fits better in the Big 12 anyway, I thought, than in the Pac-12.
We could have concrete news that Colorado will be making a move from the Pac-12 back to the Big 12. Colorado has been a target for expansion along with the other schools. There's the shorthand term, the four corners schools for Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Four teams in the Pac-12 that people think might make sense geographically to stay together, especially if they move to the Big 12 together. Four schools that want to stay in major conference college football.
So what are Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, Washington State going to do?
Well, I don't know.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Two of those six schools, I don't know the answer to. The other four, I think, would make sense in an expanded Big Ten if the Big Ten wants them.
It would make sense since the Big Ten has USC and Southern USC and UCLA.
And I think those are four: Oregon, Washington, Stanford and Cal are schools that would fit the Big Ten's academic reputation, large state schools in the area. Like if you expand to the West Coast with USC and UCLA, I think those are four schools.
So that would give what, the Big Ten possibly 20 teams, the Big 12 20 teams. That would almost seem to then go to Greg Sankey and go, okay, he made a strong couple of strong points about didn't see any reason for expansion. Well, if you have two 20-team conferences, why not just end up with three 20-team conferences?
Well, I think then the pressure goes to the ACC. Can you keep this together?
Yeah, I don't think they can.
And can the ACC provide schools with the resources to stay competitive with schools from those other three leagues? Because there are teams in the ACC, Carolina, Duke, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, like these are places, Notre Dame with their affiliations, like these are places that won't sit by and watch as other schools are getting way more money from their television deals than the ACC will. So yeah, I think that there could be, there could be more musical chairs on the horizon. And you know, the good thing about being in the SEC right now, Bill, is that you know you have a seat in the game of musical chairs.
Vandy's got to be going, thank God.
Missouri and Vanderbilt absolutely happy. They've got themselves a seat and they're strapped in and they're not going anywhere. There are other leagues and other schools that don't know where they're going to be in a couple of years. And I mean, I think more schools leaving the Pac-12 on top of USC and UCLA only puts more pressure on that league. Is Jason trying to get back in? He's outside there at the door, I think. But
I think he may just be waiting for the rain to slack up.
Okay, maybe that's what's going on. I just saw him outside the entrance. Wanted to make sure he wasn't locked out. If the Pac-12 starts to further break apart beyond just USC and UCLA, then I think the other schools in that league are going to get nervous about where the future holds and whether. I mean, there are rumors that Oregon and Washington are, you know, sort of waiting on the Big Ten to say welcome in rather than. You know, the Oregon and Washington are. You know, it sounds like they've been proactive in exploring what could happen there. Colorado jumping to the Big 12 feels like it'd be it's not the first because USC and UCLA.
No, it would be another big step toward the dissolution of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, so I mean, a lot going on. I mean, we have the commitment from DeMarcus Riddick to Auburn today up in Clanton. We were talking about the proposed bill from Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin to create the PASS, what did it stand for? Protecting Athlete Schools and Sports, which would affect NIL and the transfer portal. And then a few days ago, there was another proposal, a proposed bill, a 50-page draft from Senators Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Jerry Moran from Kansas, Cory Booker from New Jersey, two Democrats and a Republican, that they want to create the College Athletics Corporation, which would be granted investigative and subpoena powers and create a formal certification process for people looking to represent athletes in name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, I believe Cory Booker played college football.
Yes, he did.
And is someone who's been outspoken on, you know, sort of the athlete point of view about this. Both bills seem to want to establish a governing body for anyone.
For NIL.
Well, anyone in the business of representing
college
athletes. And we were talking to Jason. I wish we could have gotten this part of the conversation on the air, Bill. But talking to Jason about the Wild West of representation for college athletes right now. That, you know, it seems like, and I believe...
Yes, and NIL, not being sports agents who are going to represent them in their negotiations as they, work on professional contracts.
I believe the commissioner said during his opening remarks last week in Nashville that there are instances where all you need is letterhead, all you need is, you know...
Right, print a card.
All you need is access to, all you need is access to a printer, and you can make yourself an agent, or you can print flyers and business cards that say you are an agent representing college athletes, and you can make deals that, you know, maybe you're not qualified to make, or maybe you don't have the best interests of the athlete in mind when you make these deals, or maybe you're taking more than your fair share for yourself in this situation. So I do wonder if a path to transparency in NIL is through, and it seems like both of these bills suggest it, that a governing body for agents and representatives of college athletes would be a way to police NIL, because a lot of the deals would be going through these individuals.
The bill from Cory Booker and the other two senators, as I'm reading through it, it would also maintain a publicly available database showing that schools would have to provide, which would show the number of NIL deals, the average NIL deal, the total value of the NIL deals, broken down by sport, race, ethnicity, and gender.
And the fact that, I mean, yes, professional athletes don't have to deal with that, but professional athletes aren't on scholarship at state universities
right.
and receiving federal money and any, you know, any number of, you know, the argument from the government side that they have an obligation or a responsibility to police this in a way that they don't necessarily need to police endorsements at the professional level. Like, I mean, yes, these seem like more hoops than a professional athlete has to jump through to receive endorsement money, but there are good reasons.
And for, yeah, professional athletes are signing long-term deals.
Sure. But it's also, and it's not, I don't know if it has the same impact on competition that
right.
it does at the college level. And this is still supposed to be amateurism
Amateur.
And,
right.
and something that the government has, you know, some obligation to try to control or at least keep from you know, being overrun by irresponsibility.
It's funny because the first thing I'd heard about Booker's proposal was the medical side. That it seemed like that's what it was all about, but it's like, oh, it also encompasses NIL. But they want to establish a medical trust fund that athletes could access during and after their playing careers. And then Tuberville's bill also has, you know, some of that in there, where they would require universities to offer insurance to players after their playing careers end.
It would certainly seem like the specifics of the Booker Moran bill about the CAC, something Athletics Corp,
College Athletics Corp
would be the organization that would be tasked with enforcing. They would be the organization that licenses people to be agents representing college athletes. And seemingly, if everyone was complying with what they're talking about there, it would make it easier for the NCAA to police NIL violations potentially, because you'd have everything going through this organization, and this is an organization with subpoena power, apparently,
right.
which would
although I heard a political expert and one of those sports politics experts today saying the NCAA is much more behind the Tuberville Mansion bill
yes.
than the Booker Moran bill, because it almost takes some of the power away from the NCAA and gives it to the College Athletics Corporation, where the PASS Act would actually give the NCAA a little more power.
Did you see the other interesting part of the, and this is maybe why Charlie Baker and the other NCAA folks aren't as on board, the funding for the medical trust fund in the Cory Booker bill would come from the NCAA and schools and conferences that are earning at least $50 million in revenue
mm-hmm.
per year.
Yeah, okay, I understand that then.
So maybe they're not as crazy about
it. You're taking money out of my pocket?
Something that, that would be entirely funded by the NCAA and the conferences and schools making up the NCAA. Charlie Baker has come out in favor. He has spoken out about believing that the Tuberville Mansion bill is a step in the right direction. Both bills aim to regulate agents at the NIL level, though,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's an interesting, because it's. I mean, I hadn't thought about it too much, but I mean, if it's really the Wild West out there and anyone can do it, I mean that would be policing. That would seemingly be a way to obtain information about NIL and also find out, a way to control the bad actors in the space potentially.
So a lot going on. So we've got those two. We talked about Colorado apparently getting ready to leave the Pac-12 and join the Big 12. And then, of course, the big recruiting news today as DeMarcus Riddick, the outstanding linebacker from Chilton County High School in Clanton, announcing that on his mother's birthday that he will be coming home, as he said, to Auburn. And that's just 3 days before he will be coming back to Auburn for Big Cat. We can look at some of the players who will be visiting Big Cat. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on Auburn's big pickup. I believe I've seen in a couple of places Auburn's most highly ranked addition since Owen Papo.
That's right. I believe Justin pointed that out on a show we were doing earlier this week, that it would be, if the recruiting rankings hold up, this would be Auburn's highest rated high school signee since Owen Papo. And a guy, Auburn to beat out Alabama and Georgia for a player like this. Jason Caldwell was in here in the first hour talking about this is a guy who could contribute immediately at linebacker. And boy, is Hugh Freeze looking for guys that look like they could step in and play right now.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. The Kia of Auburn hotline number is 334-321-1390. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box. That is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. You can also check out the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll be back with more of hour number two of The Drive, and the second hour is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Stick with us. We'll be right back here on the Wednesday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine exercise, playing ball outside with the kids, riding bikes on vacation. I never worried about keeping up. But now, my joint pain has started slowing me down.
I'm Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we have a full bank of calls on the Kia of Auburn hotline, and let's get to it. And Brett gets us started. Hey, Brett, it's been a while.
Hey, Bill. Dan, I sure hope Auburn made sure Riddick's parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody who works has a good, stable job that can't be forced out, because I know one school that's going to threaten each and every one of them's job.
Well, I said it earlier. I mean, that they're not going to be backing down from the other sides.
No. No. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Freeze knows about that. I mean, this school has done it for so long that, I'm sure he knows. Well,
Brett, on that point, this is not Chilton County High School, Bill, is not a place that pumps out a lot of Division I players.
Not on a regular basis, players. No, you're right.
The way I heard it was that was one of the schools back in the day that bigger high schools would maybe look at players from that school and recruit them away, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, it's a significant addition from a place that doesn't usually have players like that.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, on the thing about, I hear people talking about NIL and that, you know, you really don't have to, you know, there's really not cheating going on and all. Hey, there's so many ways. I mean, if you're a position coach or, you know, coach making $300,000 a year and your main job is to get recruits there, you're going to do what it takes. I mean, you know, you could always get Booster A to promise your 5-bedroom beach house to them for 16 out of the 52 weeks. And there's all kind of ways around it. But just because NIL's there, certainly people don't think cheating's gone out the window.
No, as you said, I mean, there's some things that people can do that that don't fall under NIL or any of the other above board ways of handling
things. A lot of stuff that was against the rules is now less against the rules, especially if it doesn't come straight from you know, straight from the school and rather from a third party. But you're right, there are still rules to be broken.
Yeah, well, Dan, until Jesus comes, if there's a rule, they're going to be broken. I can assure you that, just from being around long enough to see. But, hey, y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the call, Brett. 334-321-1390. Is it John up next? Hey, John.
I really enjoyed the show. Good to pick up today for Auburn football. I was wondering, I have not heard, do we have any sort of ETA on when Perry Thompson may commit? And the only other question I had was, the point guard in basketball in Mobile that committed to Auburn and backed off his commitment, do we have any update on him? And there was another guard that came as a package deal with him, Pettiford from New Jersey. Do we have any update on those three guys? That's all I got. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, Tahad is still he's definitely still committed. Let's see. I was
not sure what the latest from LeBaron Filon is.
I think he's still listing Auburn as one of his possibilities. So I think he was very close to Wes Flanagan, and I think that. That had something. So I wouldn't count him out by any means.
Right. And so the other question was Perry Thompson?
Yeah, Perry Thompson, I mean, he's committed to Alabama. So he hasn't, you know, he hasn't decommitted or said that he is going to, you know, make a final decision or anything like that. I think it's just the feeling from folks on both sides is that he's paying more attention to Auburn, and that it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he could flip. But he hasn't said anything about, you know, backing off his commitment from Alabama yet.
There are some folks who think he could be at Big Cat Weekend.
Oh, he is. He has told people he will be at Big Cat Weekend. Alabama has been trying to get him to come to their barbecue this weekend, but last I have heard, he is instead planning on being at Big Cat.
Great stuff. Appreciate the phone call.
334-321-1390. And Jerry. No, Jerry. Oh, did we lose Jerry? Ty the Tiger. Hey, man. How are you doing?
Hey, Ty.
What's going on, guys?
Now, you know, it's been a fun show. A lot going on. Got to carry a commitment, you know, at the very top of the show. Jason Caldwell came and talked about it. It's been a good one.
Yeah. I obviously wanted to call and talk about the big commitment. I mean, you know, so two things I think that this really kind of stands out to me is, number one, the mode and just, I mean, and again, it's obvious, just the whole mode of the whole coaching staff and everything. I just love when Trevon Reed, every time he says it, we ain't done yet. I mean, every time that's the first thing the man tweets, and I just love it. But, but man, I just, you know, just, I mean, you know, like we talked about, man, just, I mean, just paying attention, talking to these guys, getting these recruits in. I mean, you know, we all know Hugh's going to put a good product on the field. But, you know, they say, you know, you can't make chicken salad out of, you know what. So, I mean, you know, that's been the issue. Now we got some actual people to put on the field. It's just a different narrative going into this season. Different feel for fans, different feel for the football team in general, man. And again, I'm just probably saying some of the things everybody else says, but just, you know, it just feels good. Second, you know, right after he committed us, obviously all the Bama beat writers had every excuse in the nation to come up with. And, you know, one of the narratives was, you know, that I saw just kind of ongoing, of course, a couple of the big guys that, you know, Bama's not for everyone. And this guy's made very, very clear that, you know, winning is not important to him. And
yeah, I heard that. I believe that was Tim. I believe Tim Watts was the one that was spouting that.
Right. And you know, it just is funny. But I do think that a narrative is coming out. And I think, you know, and I hate to say it like this, you know, I mean, look, I think Saban is losing some of the mustard, you know, that he has had for so many years. A lot of people are understanding, you know, that you know, Bama will, you know, run you to death, and it is not fun, and it is, you know, hey, they put a lot in the league because they treat it like the league, they treat it like a job. some kids ain't down with that, you know. Some, you know, and that's why a lot of them transfer out that, you know, probably go somewhere else and actually make it to the NFL. But, you know, I think that, you know, as long as Saban was winning, that it was still okay and that players still committed and didn't care. But now you got Kirby Smart, and he's having fun, and he's putting players in the league. And he is now, I mean, this is to me going to be, you know, another close year between the two of them. But, you know, that King of the Castle title is slowly and surely sinking. You know, that empire is slowly dissolving. And these other schools, like a Georgia, and, you know, obviously we had our own problems. I don't want to say we're in that category. But USC, Ohio State, it's not just – they're not just cleaning house like they did years past. You know what I mean? I think one thing is just that in the NIL money has really leveled the playing field for Saban versus other coaches. And just kind of wanted your thoughts on that about, you know, just basically how you think kids nowadays, you know, don't look at it so much as a business. And now that these other places are having success, how Saban, I think, is losing some ground. And, you know, you say that, and the guy had the number one recruiting class last year. So,
yeah, he
you know,
had, according to the experts, he topped Texas A&M for the greatest recruiting class in history. And that's the guys that are starting to play this year. So, yeah.
This is the breaking of a pretty big egg. It's not an omelet yet, you know, but it's a pretty big egg breaking today.
Appreciate
it. Well, man, as always, guys, War Damn Eagle, and I enjoy the show, man. Just keep it up.
Appreciate the call, Ty. 334-321-1390. Yeah, what it is a huge get for Auburn from those two that have been dominating recruiting in this part of the country for the last few years. That's what we're talking about with Jason. I mean, it's not just a great get from someone that Alabama and Georgia didn't want. It is someone that both of those schools really did want. And so that's like taking two steps. It's not just taking one step forward. It's holding them while you take that step forward. Because remember, Hugh Freeze has talked about, well, he knew that Auburn is better than when he took over. But he didn't think that some of those other schools were standing still either. This time, they stand still while Auburn takes a step.
Right, and we've seen, I mean, since Hugh Freeze arrived, right, whether it's the Keldrick Falk was really the biggest example of this from the first class, but now he's going out and getting a couple of players that were really heavily pursued by the best programs in the conference. And, yeah, I mean, this is and when you're talking about local guys especially, like the importance of being competitive and winning your share of battles with guys that are nearby, guys that are regional prospects. I mean, this is a big one.
Oh, no question. Well, I mean, just think of what, you know, Hugh was able to do, and the Auburn staff, Keldrick Falk, Kay and Lee, Connor Liu, guys that were going other places, weren't really even considering Auburn, and they came here, and now he's had a little more time. He gets DeMarcus Riddick and not done.
And Alabama was after Malik Blockton. Too. I mean, Auburn was, you know, I mean, Texas as well. But I mean, there's another defensive line prospect Auburn has signed or Auburn has got a commitment from in the last month or so. The Pike Road D line.
I'm telling you, the defense, man. That's probably what's a little surprising to some folks. Thinking Hugh Freeze, thinking, you know, and he's an offensive guy. But man, they are killing it on the defensive side thus far.
And Jason shouted out Josh Aldridge, who's mm-hmm. doing a great job.
That will be DeMarcus's position coach.
We hear Zach Etheridge is always involved in guys like this as well. So yeah, this is a staff hitting the ground running, especially with defensive players.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive. Drive here, final 20 minutes. On this Wednesday, Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls.
We should mention to people, you know, we've been talking a lot about Auburn football in the upcoming season. You can catch Auburn football games here in the local market, the Auburn Opelika area. You can catch them on Wings 94.3, starting with the start with the first episode of Tiger Talk next month. I mean, and then we'll have football and men's basketball on Wings 94.3. And we'll have baseball and women's basketball on 100.3, on AU 100. So it's going to be, yeah, going to be a lot of fun. Going to be very cool to have Auburn, the Auburn Sports Network, as part of the family here. And we're looking forward to hearing from some coaches and players and broadcasters as the season gets closer.
Yeah, Tiger Talk, as a matter of fact, will debut 4 weeks from tomorrow. Or 4 weeks from today. Is it today or tomorrow?
I think it's a Thursday show, isn't it?
It used to be. What day of the week is the 24th?
The 24th of August is a Thursday.
Okay, that's what I'm right. Then it was 4 weeks from tomorrow.
What's the first day of classes?
The 16th.
That's the Wednesday the 16th.
Yes.
So 8 days earlier, you got the... Now, and what was it you were
Man,
telling
it's
me?
Man, it's flying. It's getting
high
here
school,
in a hurry.
High school's in the area?
Opelika City schools start next week. I believe on the 3rd.
You know what I saw? You know what I saw today at the store? Halloween candy. That's where we are.
That's right.
In the calendar.
Summer's about over.
Halloween
candy
on the
folks that step out
on the shelves
in this weather to
because back to school
stuff's already coming.
Back to school is the holiday.
Tax free weekend was last weekend,
and then once we get to right about now, end of July, the back to school deals are over, and you can start moving the Halloween candy on the onto the shelves.
Wow. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get back to it. And Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Great pickup with Riddick. I think he's just the spark to start the fire.
Hey, Dan noted a tweet from Perry Thompson.
Yeah, another receiver that Auburn is after. A lot of interest in what he's going to do this weekend. Perry Thompson on social media congratulating DeMarcus Riddick for his commitment earlier today. Some Auburn people have noticed that tweet and
hoping that he's in Auburn to congratulate him this weekend.
Yeah, all right. He should attract a lot of people.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he is very prominent, a very highly touted prospect. I think that makes 12 commits who will be at Big Cat this weekend for Auburn. All 12 of them are going to be here.
How many five stars?
He's the first. I mean, they're only, as Jason has said, I mean, they're only around 30, 32 five stars every year.
I believe 24/7 has, I believe 24/7 has Riddick as the number 20, as the number 46 player on the board in the class of 24. That would make him Auburn's highest ranked player. He's a four-star or a five-star, depending on the service.
Auburn's got a couple of other five-stars that are expected to be in this weekend. Cam Franklin is in town right now, the number one player in Mississippi. And then K.J. Bolden is expected to be in for Big Cat as well, and that's another five-star.
What position does Riddick play?
He is an inside linebacker. Well, he's a guy that could play inside or outside linebacker.
Cool.
Jason was comparing him to Tequio Spikes on the
That's a nice comparison.
A little bit earlier on, yeah.
That's high praise.
No question about it.
All right.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Yeah, and all right, Jason, we were looking during one of the breaks. I've heard some people say that this could be Auburn's, Auburn could be headed to its greatest recruiting class ever, if not this year, then next year. Auburn has had some really good ones. It's been a while. Jason pointed out that in 2010 and 11, Auburn finished 5-6 nationally in recruiting. You go back, I think in 2001, Auburn was 6 or 7 that the Cadillac Jason Campbell class, but I would go. You go back. Coach Dye had at least 2, maybe 3 top five classes in recruiting. But I mean, none of the current sites go back that far. So I don't think anybody's goes back past 99.
Tuberville had a really strong class. the year before Saban arrived was either 06 or 07 was a solid class too, before the 2008 class, where a lot of the top players on the board, virtually all the top players on the board in the state, went to Alabama.
Like Auburn felt like they had a really good chance of getting those guys. They were number 9 according to 24/7 in 07.
There you go.
And then in 06, they were number 11.
Okay, so a couple of classes right around 10 in the rankings, mm-hmm. nationally, you know, during the Tuberville era.
And
a lot of those 07 signees are on the 2010 national championship team.
Yeah, and that 2010-2011, when Auburn had two teams that were ranked 5 and 6, yeah, the freshmen freshmen won a national championship, and then as those that were around as seniors played for another national championship. And like Jason said, that shows you right there how important it is. And you mentioned 2008. After Nick Saban's first year, yeah, Auburn dropped to 18.
Yeah, and that was Tommy Tuberville's final recruiting class.
That is right. Auburn. All right, 334-321-1390, and Rob is up next. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. The closed for business sign that was in front of the Auburn football building the last couple of years has been thrown in the trash again. Now 10 4-stars, 2 3s, and I did the math. I heard y'all talking. Typical year, about 3,300 kids signed Division I scholarships. With the portal, those numbers are probably off. 33 of them will be a 5-star. 350 to 400 will be a 4. The rest are 3s, 2s, or 9-rated. Where do y'all think you build most of your team? Wouldn't you say the 3s and the 4s?
You would hope that you've got a majority of 4s in your class, and then – you know, nowadays with the transfer portal, I think it's going to be, hopefully once you get your roster competitive, you'd have more guys like offensive linemen that you really project that you could bring in that you could convince to stick around for a couple of years without necessarily stepping in and playing. Because that's the toughest thing you have to do now, is if you don't have guys that are going to play immediately, so many of them are going to try to find some place where they can.
Yeah. And who was it? Was it you or Dan? Who was it? Or Jason comparing him to Takiyo? I mean, I watched tape of him in these camps.
Yeah, I mean, Jason said that. Jason was talking about trying to compare him to somebody, saying he's not, you know, as long as a Carlos Dansby, and he's bigger than, you know, Papo and guys like that. So he said the closest guy he could think of to compare him to was Takiyo, just because of the impact that he has there on the field.
He's listed at 6'2", 212 on the various recruiting sites. So
yeah, and Jason thinks, you know, once he is a football-only guy, because he's been an outstanding basketball player as well, that he could easily, you know, be 230, 235.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at recruiting and watching what's going on. All these kids that for 2.5 years were not getting contacted, we got to just be thankful that Zach and Cadillac and Marcus Davis is new, but all those other coaches and people behind the scenes that y'all know about and we know about that have done what they could to hold things together. And I'm not saying Georgia and Alabama aren't great programs, but they had a damn hall pass. The mice will play when the cat's away for 2.5 years. They got anybody they wanted. And you watch, I guarantee you there's an emergency meeting being called of the Benevolent and Protective Order of the Red Elephant Club. I know a lot of those guys, they're going to be going, oh, my God, what's going on? But now, with NIL, who are they going to go to in the media to lie about us? I love it, guys. War damn.
Appreciate the call, Rob.
Yeah, it's you know, we can't call John Thrower anymore, but he's here in spirit.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, it was really interesting. I'm reading on AL.com some quotes from DeMarcus Riddick's head coach, Marvin Morton. He was talking about the difference in the recruitment of DeMarcus Riddick by Auburn. Said they felt spurned during Brian Harsin's tenure. He said, quote, it was just very hands-off. They just made that one visit, and, you know, especially with being in state, you know, thought there'd be more follow-up after the visit, but there wasn't. That's crazy. To just
with a player like that,
to just punt on a guy, I guess they didn't get a good enough vibe or something. I don't know. I mean, that's almost impossible to fathom.
Thankfully, you know, there was still enough time left in the calendar for this coaching staff to step in and fix that. But no, you're right. That's a trouble.
I almost wonder. This may sound crazy. It may have been better for him to commit to Georgia than to have Alabama push and try to go ahead and get him. I don't know, but I mean, there's no question. I mean, Hugh Freeze and his staff understand what has to be done and how it's done. And this is a huge, again, you can't really underestimate how big a pickup this is at this time. You have so many players who have made visits, who have been around to different campuses this summer, and there are an awful lot of high schoolers who would love to have the pressure off going into their their senior season of knowing where they want to go, or at least, like Jason said, now there are other players out there. There's no question. There are other players out there that have been impressed with what they've heard from Auburn, but now they go, oh, here's validation from one of their peers who is very highly touted, very high profile, he's going that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is we'll see what kind of recruiting he can do for Auburn in the future, but yeah, he'll be an exciting addition to the Big Cat lineup this weekend, having just committed to Auburn in the last couple of days.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
Difficult times remind us to take stock of what's most
drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Wednesday Drive. Been a fun show. I mean, a lot going on. And it was cool to start the show with a live commitment. And thanks to AL.com for the audio that we're able to run. It wasn't the greatest audio, but the thing is, what was really interesting was there wasn't really audio for the announcement. It was more, I mean, he just sort of turned to his mom, and it's her birthday, and very, very young-looking mom, yeah. I'll say. Turned to his mom. She pulled up a big happy birthday bag that had a lot of, you know, tissue paper in it, reached down in it, pulled out an Auburn hat, handed it to DeMarcus, who put it on, and the crowd erupted. And that was the way that it was announced that his final decision was Auburn.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, again, there's nothing binding with a commitment like this, but he's making it sound as though he's made his final decision about where he's going to go. One would think he's going to be an active recruiter for Auburn between now and whenever he has the opportunity to sign, and he'll be at Big Cat Weekend this weekend, trying to convince other people to join the class of 24.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, Jason's saying, you know, it could be 40 or more. We were talking about that with Brian the other day as well. That's one more that is already, you know, and you check on the Auburn side, in the Auburn camp, if you will. And I believe it's now about evenly split from the number of 24 commitments and the number of other 24 prospects who are coming in. It looks around, you know, close to 25 or so top prospects for 2024, and 12 of them are committed to Auburn. So that's good. So, I mean, and as one of our callers was saying, and he's absolutely right, sometimes your best recruiters are the guys that are already there. I mean, I'll tell you what, the best recruiters to me usually are the kids who are already on the team. I mean, because if you come in and the players there already on campus aren't excited about what, you know, what is coming up, the prospects are going to pick up on that. But right now, I mean, there is nothing to go by. What's really positive, I think, when you look at it from, you know, through orange and blue glasses, is that Hugh Freeze hasn't coached a game for Auburn, and how far this roster and the outlook and the feel for the outlook of the future of this team has come.
Sure, and I'm sure Hugh Freeze is looking forward to the opportunity to use game days in Auburn as a, you know, as part of the recruiting experience and bring people to campus. And I mean, it's a for a guy who talked last week about some of the negative things he has to battle on the recruiting trail, he's done impressive work convincing high schoolers to sign in spite of that. And if he can change some of that on the field, you know, we'll see, you know, sky's the limit seemingly as far as what he could do.
Yeah, because, I mean, you just see a competitive, exciting product on the field, and that's going to create even more excitement among the prospects that you're bringing in.
A lot of what he's asking guys to do right now is believe, right, and have faith and trust him. And when it becomes, you know, when folks can see it on the field, it becomes easier to do all of those things. It becomes easier to understand, yeah, this guy has a plan, and it's trending in the right direction right now.
Yeah, so big day for Auburn. We will continue to preview Big Cat Weekend. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell. It was great, great timing. I mean, the announcement's made. We're talking about it. Jason comes in and gave us the last three segments there in hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear that. If you missed any of it, we'd really encourage you to check out the podcast.
Hour number one of the podcast will have Jason Caldwell's appearance today. So check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And tomorrow is we got Justin tomorrow?
I believe Justin Ferguson should be in the house tomorrow. I haven't heard otherwise, so we should be talking with the El Presidente of the Auburn Observer about everything going on with fall practice just about a week away. And you know, we're expecting to hear from Hugh Freeze pretty soon, and maybe even next week we get to see some practice. So
I sure hope so. I mean, we should. No, they're going to start practice next week. Justin is the guy that I look to now when I'm looking for numbers. I mean, he is the numbers guy. He is the last time, first time, most things like that. He is going to have those. So it'll be great to have him in tomorrow again. A fun show today. We'll see. I mean, we touched on a couple of other things going to be interesting to follow. I mean, we'll see if there is more going on as far as realignment in college football. Does, you know, what happens with this Colorado move apparently from the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing reports now on you know, major outlets reporting on this Colorado thing. We could have clarity on that in the next day or two as far as whether or not they're leaving the Pac-12.
So, quite a bit we can talk about. Fun show today. Appreciate all the calls, and of course, thanks to Jason Caldwell. We're back tomorrow with Justin Ferguson joining us here in the studio. We're out of time, though, here for the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.